Wow, what a privilege to be here again, eh? Sure, guys, the Lord is doing amazing stuff, eh? You guys have got awesome pastors, don't you agree? So I think you should put your hands together for Richard and Jolene. Yo. When I walked in here, I felt one word, I'm home. I really feel like I'm at home. You know, I got married here in Franschhoek. My wife and I got married at the Orlandse Moorland almost 17 years ago, the 17th of November, 2007. And I preached here just before I got married, and I preached again just after I've got married, and I haven't been back again. So I'm so thankful, Richard, for the privilege of just being back with you guys again, because the Lord is amazing. Eh? Jesus is alive. Turn to someone next to you and say, it is harvest time. Not because Alistair says so or because you feel so. It is harvest time because it's always harvest time. Amen. Yo, and driving into Franschhoek this morning, you guys need to repent this morning for not appreciating where you live, okay? Just go anywhere else in South Africa and come here and you're like, wow, do we really have this, okay? We don't have this in PE, okay? We've got the sea, but yo, we don't quite have the beauty that you guys have, eh? So I think you should, I agree with, what's your name, sorry? Stefan, we need to be thankful because sometimes we get familiar with things and we don't remember or realize how blessed we are just being in a place like this. So I really want to thank you for listening this morning. I want to thank you for being open to what God wants to do this morning, because He wants to do something special here this morning. I really believe so. And you're going to see now why. But I want to start by showing you a picture of my family. So this is my family up here. Don't they look quite good, eh? I'm the least handsome there, you know, the rest are pretty, it must come from my wife, I guess. So my youngest son, Nathan, is here with me this morning, but the others had sport on, they couldn't quite come for convergence, but I'm blessed to have a family, okay? Three kids is the recipe, right? Eh? Anyone, you've got two kids, just one more would be good, eh? Three is the recipe. They say four is the recipe for pastors, but it looks like it's, yeah, I think three is right, eh, Richard? But what a blessing to have a family, what a blessing to be married and to have life. But I want to start by sharing a story of a boy that was sent to a hostel in grade 8, standard 6, way back in the day. A boy who grew up on a farm in the Eastern Cape, a place called Graaffreinet, very shy, not really wanting to speak to people, not really wanting to have anything to do with people. This boy would hide behind a couch when anyone came to visit. He was very shy. And he would be really afraid of people, even looking in people's eyes. Couldn't look into people's eyes. And then he was sent to a boarding school, a hostel, far away from home. And it was time for him to get out of the car. And he was afraid because they told him at that hostel, they said, you, for the next 5 years, you're going to see us more than you're going to see your parents. So get used to it. And it put even more fear into this little boy. And he was about to get out the car and he froze. He was sitting at the back of this car and he froze. And he didn't want to get out. And his mother was basically crying, having to say goodbye to him. And his dad gets out the car and helps him get out the car and takes him to this hostel and stands at the door of the hostel and waits for him to walk up the stairs. And he walks up the stairs and he looks back at his father standing at the door. His father didn't take him further. He just stood at the door, walks up the stairs, and he looks back at his father. And he looks into his father's eyes and he hears these words in Afrikaans, "Fasbyt." And he turns around and he walks into this hostel to start his high school career. A year later, an evangelist comes to the school, preaches the gospel, and this little boy gives his life to Jesus at 15 years old. And this evangelist said the following. He said, if there's no change, there's no Jesus. And this little boy, growing up in a very religious environment, didn't realize that he needed Jesus. And he gave his life to Jesus. On the 19th of March, 1992, this little boy gave his life to Jesus, and he was never the same again. And that started a journey of redemption in this little boy's life. It started a journey where this boy was called into a calling he never knew was possible. This little boy's name is Alistair Kingwell. And behind that father that sent me to hostel was another father that was looking after me. Another father that was pursuing me. Another father that changed my life. And I started to get to know this father. So I'm going to share a little bit of my story while I weave through the scripture that I want to read this morning, because I'm talking here about the joy of one. Say the joy of one. Because I want to say this morning that there's a joy in one person, because every single person is important to our Father in heaven. This morning, you are important to our Father in heaven. You as an individual person are important to our Father in heaven. And so are many others out there important to our Father in heaven. But so many times, even in church circles, we can get caught up in the crowd. And this weekend, we had an incredible crowd of people. The introvert that I am, at times, just wanted to, you know, like, just get out in my own because there's people, people, people. It's a crowd of people. But in this crowd, there's a bunch of individuals, and each individual is important to our Father. One life matters to God. Amen. One life. Everyone matters to God, but one life matters to God. And there's this awesome, awesome story here in Luke chapter 15. Two parables that I'm going to put together. Most of us know all three of them, but I'm going to read the first two because the third one is probably the more popular one, the one of the lost son or the two lost sons, because the younger and the older were both lost, as we heard this weekend. But I'm not going to read that one. I'm going to read the other two parables of the lost sheep and the lost coin. And I'm going to put them together and just go through a few things that hopefully will stir your heart to realize how there is joy in the one. Amen. There is joy in just the one. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him. This is Jesus. He's making an impact, and the sinners are drawn to him. The tax collectors are drawn to him, representing those who are on the outside, representing those who are outcast, those who are lost, those who the Pharisees and Sadducees judged. And listen to what they say. The Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, and they're saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." It's amazing how the legalists and the religious people and the judgmental people will always get upset when it comes to sinners and outsiders, right? And sometimes even church people get upset with sinners and outsiders. But Jesus could see this happening. And so it says in verse 3, he told them this parable. Verse 4 says, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays on it his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I found my sheep that was lost.' Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repent." That's the end of that parable. And then he goes on, he says, "Oh, what woman?" Sometimes we read these parables very sort of individually, but if you read them together, you realize there's a pattern here. Jesus, or Luke, is writing the heart of Jesus here. "Oh, what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I found the coin that I had lost.' Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents." May the word of the Lord speak to us this morning. May it not be Alistair that's preaching this morning, but may it be the word of the Lord. By the Holy Spirit, stir your hearts for much more than what I'm going to say this morning. But I believe, church, if we catch this one thing, if we catch this thing, we are going to be change, never to be the same again. And hopefully you will see something different when it comes to evangelism, when it comes to reaching out, because there's joy in the one. So the heart of the Father is truly to draw outsiders. The heart of the Father is to receive sinners and tax collectors and eat with them. The heart of the Father is to give them an opportunity just to hear him. And sometimes, as I said, the crowds are so many that we forget about the one. And sometimes the one can get lost in the crowd. And maybe you're here this morning and you sometimes feel lost even in this group of people, because it's quite a big group of people. You can easily get lost in this group of people. But the Lord's heart is for you this morning. You might be that one. God's heart is for you this morning. But God's heart is for all those ones that might be lost out there in the crowd and in the rush of life, in the rat race of life. There might be just that one that's getting lost. Amen. There might be one in your sphere of influence that is needing to be reached out to. And so I want to look at four things this morning that we can learn of the joy of this Father. Because he's telling a parable, God is telling a parable, Jesus is telling this parable to show the heart of the Father. He's showing the joy of his own heart. And it's found not only at the end of the parable, and we see it, it's only at the end we see him, the rejoicing and the joy is only at the end, but it's not, it's throughout. And you'll see now. So the first thing, I believe, when it comes to reaching out and when it comes to looking for the one, it starts with this. It's the joy of seeing the one. Say seeing the one. You see, both this man, and it's amazing, it's the man and the woman here. So Jesus tells this parable about the man, and he's obviously a shepherd in the story, and then a woman. Interesting to say that men and women are represented here. Both men and women can reach out. Amazing. And so he says, the man and the woman, both of these two, saw that there was one missing. They noticed that there was one missing. Do you see that? Why would they have gone after that coin and that sheep if they hadn't seen that there was one missing? Both were looking out for the one. And I want to say this morning that God is always looking out for each one. God is looking out for the one. God is looking for you this morning, and God is looking for those outside that are the one, because he's looking and he's seeing the one. Not only does he look out for the one, but he wants us, each one of us, to see that one that is lost. He wants you to start to see the one that is lost. And when you start to have the joy of seeing, your life will never be the same again when you start to see that one. Because guess what? Someone saw you. The reason that you are saved this morning, the reason that you're in this church probably, is someone saw you. Isn't that so? And maybe they didn't see you physically, but they were praying for you, and they saw you in the spirit, and they were praying for you. They saw you as the one. They noticed you and they invited you to the kingdom of God. Someone saw you. I'm so glad I got sent away from home for high school, where I could go to a boarding school and step out of my comfort zone and be challenged and encouraged. But you know, I knew why I was sent to that boarding school was because I needed to meet Jesus. Because he was pursuing me through my parents, because they told me, you can stay here or you can go, but you're going. You know, I had that choice, but not quite. They wanted me to go. But I had the most amazing high school career. Started in fear and not wanting to go, but ending in joy. I discovered running. I started to run. I became good at running. It was I had opportunities. We went overseas. I was able to get academic colors and colors for cross country and athletics. I discovered a passion for life and for stuff. But most of all, I discovered the one who loves me, the one who's pursuing me, Jesus Christ. Never forget that day, the 19th of March, 1992, when Jesus saved me. Because he was pursuing me, because he saw me and he noticed me. And he noticed you and he saw you. And then the rest of my story carries on. I want to tell you how I came to Shofar. So I heard about this wacky church in Stellenbosch. They were radical. Okay, so I got saved, but I didn't get filled with the Holy Spirit. So I knew I'm going to heaven, but I could never share anything. I didn't share my testimony. I didn't reach out because I was a shy boy, right? So I didn't have the power of the Holy Spirit with me. And so I got invited to Shofar. So I was in a private res in Stellenbosch, and this guy next to me, he was quite radical, Boer van die Kerk, if you remember Boer. He would fast and pray, and he was like passionate for the Lord. I looked at the guy, this guy's weird. The Jesus he seems to be serving and the Jesus I serve are not quite the same Jesus. I'm serving Jesus, but there's something more that this guy's got, and I want this. And for 6 months, he kept inviting me to a life group, a small group. He kept inviting me, and I was like, nah, I'm doing my running and I've got a girlfriend and I'm happy with my life. Or I thought I was. But something inside of me said there is more. There's more of God that I need to discover. Because I'm hitting a ceiling. I feel like I'm praying to a ceiling. I feel like I know God, but I'm not breaking through. Because the God that I'm seeing in other people that are filled with joy, filled with the Spirit, are different. And I somehow want this. And this guy kept pursuing me. He was like, he saw me. And then he kept pursuing me, and he invited me and invited me and invited me. But he could see that there's something missing in my life. And so eventually I decided, let me go to a small group. And I sat in his car, and now he starts to explain to me, I don't have to do anything. Now I'm thinking, I'm even more afraid. What's happening in this small group? Because these people are probably like, you know, they do weird stuff here, and it's speaking in tongues and all this stuff. And eventually I go to the small group. And I experienced love like I've never experienced before. I experienced acceptance. I experienced a celebration. I experienced like, man, I want what these people have got. And that's a long story short. I got into that group, and then I started to pursue more of God. I got baptized. I got filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'll never forget when I got filled with the Holy Spirit and I got baptized in water, I came up out of the water, and Jesus said to me, for the first time I heard his voice, he said, you are going to bear fruit for my kingdom. And little did I know that I'd be called into the full-time ministry. I didn't have a clue, but I just knew there was something inside of me that's stirring, because someone pursued me. Someone saw me, first of all, and they invited me in. So who are you seeing this morning? Because you might be that guy, Boer van die Kerk, that invited me, and eventually I became a life group leader in his life group. Because he saw me and he saw potential in me because he had a heart to reach out. He had a heart just to see. And he might not, I don't think he was the most like wacky evangelist, but he just said, come and see what we are seeing. Come and experience what we are experiencing. But there was joy in his life when he could see change in my life. He had the joy of seeing and following up with that. So who are you seeing this morning? Because I want to say there is joy in seeing others. But just start there. Start by seeing others. You'll see the rest now, but don't focus on the rest now. Focus on, first of all, seeing. Who are you seeing? The other day, we did an outreach in Greenacres Mall there in PE, you know, and it was hectic. There's so many people. And you just see this harvest, and you think, like, where do we start? And sometimes you see so many people that you think that's too many. But when you go into a crowd of people, there's always the one. And just say to God, God, I just want you to show me. Help me to see the one. And when you start to see the one, you don't have to do anything. Just see and wait. Sometimes we rush in. And we just want to get someone saved. But see. First say, God, show me. Who's that one? The second thing this man in the parable did, it says, yeah, he left the 99 in the open country and he went after the one. He goes after him until he finds it. The woman lights a lamp, sweeps the house. She does quite drastic things. The man does quite drastic things to go after the one. It says he goes after and it says she seeks diligently until she finds it. Why do you think the man and the woman do this? For a sheep and for a coin? Why do they seek diligently? Why do they go after the one and leave the 99, leave the rest? Why do you think they do that? For a sheep and for a coin? Jesus is trying to show us here that every life has value. How much value is there on a life, a human life? Think about it. How much value is there? You can't measure it. Every life has value. And that's why the sheep in this case had value. It had value for farming. Every sheep has got value. I think a sheep on my brother's farm is worth about 2,000 rand. So one sheep is quite a lot, right? Because it grows some nice wool, right? And a coin has a lot of value depending, obviously, on the value of the coin. But every coin has intrinsic value. Both the sheep and the coin have value in themselves, but more than that value in themselves, they are valuable to the owner. So every life is valuable to God, right? Every single life is valuable to God. There is a price tag on every life. And you know what that price tag is? The blood of Jesus Christ. Not only on our lives sitting in church, but on every life out there, there's the price of the blood of Jesus Christ. What is the value of that? You cannot measure it. It's eternal. So I want to tell another story of my third son. Talking about pursuing someone, talking about pursuing a life, talking about the value of a life. It's an amazing story. God is good. So my wife is pregnant with our third child. We're going to a wedding one Saturday morning. I think it was 2013. We get invited to a wedding in December. And that morning she wakes up and she's bleeding. Now she knows she's pregnant. It's a few weeks pregnant, probably about 6, 7, 8 weeks pregnant. And she starts bleeding. And she says, I'm going to have to go to the gynae quickly because this doesn't look good. And we go to the gynae, and he's a believer as well. And he looks and he says, I've seen this before. Doesn't look good. The best is just get the scrape done and get the miscarriage out as soon as possible. I've seen this many times. And we hear these days of many miscarriages. Most women have miscarriages. So you kind of want to accept it. And my wife is very down because my brother's wife had about 6 or 7 miscarriages. Her sisters all had miscarriages. So it's like, this is our first one. So maybe it's just our lot in life. We're going to have a miscarriage as well. And something inside of me says, no, I'm not going to accept this. Yes, it might be the fact the doctor said. I'm not denying what he's saying, but I'm saying, no, Jesus has got resurrection life in him. And she was very down. She didn't really want to believe. Like, she just wanted to get emotional and just like, okay, let's just do whatever needs to be done. And I'm like, no. And I called two of our church people and us two ladies and I said, let's just lay hands on her and pray and call this life back. And we message our friends and we say, pray. And so we're going on holiday and the guy, and he's going on holiday and he gives us some tablets to up the blood count or something like that. And he says, look, you know, pray, but you can either come back tomorrow morning just before you leave and you can get the miscarriage out and you can get the scrape done and let's have it done. It's easier, it's less emotional. Or you can come back in 2 weeks' time, we can check again, it might work itself out, whatever. We're like, okay, that's what the fact says, but the truth says no. Someone needs to live here. So we pray and our friends pray. And 2 weeks later, we go back to another gynae because this guy was on holiday. So the other gynae, and we're like wondering what's happening now because we don't see any change. We don't know what's happening inside of her. But he puts, or she puts, the scanner on and there's a heartbeat. And she says, no, there I can see a heartbeat. And I can see the blood. There's still clots of blood. There's still stuff there that doesn't look right, but there's a heartbeat and there's life. But what I want to say this morning is that I realize that God is pursuing this life. And I can partner with God to pursue this life and start to intercede and start to call back life in the name of Jesus. And today I'm sitting with a blessed. You'll see him now at the end of Kids Church. He's such a blessing to us, our third child. And I know he's going to be a world changer. Because I know when he got born, when he came out, his mother almost died because she didn't want to stop bleeding after he came out. And I'm holding this baby in my hand, and yeah, my wife is in hospital, and she's almost bleeding to death. The doctor's praying in the spirit because he thinks, the emergency call for the theater, and luckily the blood stopped. But something about him the devil hates. But I just know there's resurrection life in him and in Jesus Christ ultimately. And when I look at Nathan, I look at a guy who's got two lives, you know. It's like he's got a second choice. It's like we got two kids for the price of one because he's busy and he's feisty and he gives us our days as well. But I know he's going to give the devil his days. Because every life has value, and so there's joy not only in seeing the one, but there's joy in pursuing the one. Because the result isn't up to us, but the pursuing is up to us. And he calls each one of us to pursue someone. Who are you pursuing here this morning, church? And I'm not talking to the crowd. I'm talking to you as individuals because you are important to God. The one. Who are you pursuing? Who are you seeing, first of all, and then who are you pursuing? There's joy in pursuing. Miracles can happen when we pursue. Because that shepherd pursued, the woman pursued until she found it. Until he found it. Then the third joy that the father experiences is the joy of giving his life for the one. The joy of giving his life for the one. And now that we don't have to do. We don't have to die on a cross for the salvation of souls. Thank you, Jesus. He died once and for all. And the shepherd and this woman sought diligently until they found what they were looking for. Amen. And isn't that what Jesus himself did? He went to the cross until he finished the work that God called him to do. It speaks to me about persistence, about perseverance, until the work is complete. And Jesus has done that. He said on the cross, it is finished. Say, it is finished. He went that extra mile. He wrestled in the Garden of Gethsemane and saying, Father, can't I rather do it? Can't we do it differently? And there was silence from heaven. No, Lord, I realize now, not my will, but your will be done. I'll do this. I'll finish. Hebrews 12 verse 2 says, there was joy that was set before Jesus when he went to the cross, despised the shame, and sat on at the right hand of the throne of God for every person. And you know, we love to say that, but truly, if you were the only person, if there was one person on this earth, Jesus would still have died, because that's the value of one life. That is how he loves to give his life for that one person. And you know, when you share the good news, there is power to save. When you share the gospel, there is power to save. And so for us, we don't have to die on a cross to save sinners, but we do have to give up our comforts. We do have to step out. We do have to go and just start to preach the gospel. Because there's power when we preach the good news. When the gospel is shared, power is released. Power to convict, power for the person to repent, and power ultimately to save that life, and power to forgive that life. There's power released because Jesus has finished. I remember I was sitting next to a woman on a plane once. It was just before just after we got married. My wife's a travel agent. She was going to Spain, and we were in Joburg, and she was flying to Spain. I was flying back out to Cape Town. I was like, not feeling very good. I was feeling a bit sorry for myself. But I knew when I sit next to someone on the plane, there is that one. Amen. When you sit next to someone in a car, on a bus, or wherever, there is that one. Say, there is that one. And that could be the one that Jesus is looking for. So that night, I sit and I'm like, Lord, tonight, I'm feeling a bit sorry for myself. My wife's leaving. Can not tonight. And then you realize when you say that to the Lord, you know that's the night. And I feel the Lord saying, this woman has got a fear of death. So I ask her a very cruel question. I say to her, what happens if this plane crashes tonight? You know, where are you going? So you got to ask the Lord, how must I start this? I mean, obviously I didn't start like that. I started a conversation and just chatted, and then I felt the Lord saying she has got a fear. She's not sure what's going to happen when she dies. And so I ask her and I say, you know, how's your relationship with the Lord? I can't remember what I asked. And then she says, no, she's Catholic, and so she's fine, you know. And then I said, but what happens if this plane has to crash tonight? Are you sure where you're going? And suddenly it's like, no, I'm actually very afraid of dying.
And I basically share with her the gospel, and I lead her to the Lord, and she gives her life to the, because first I didn't lead her to the Lord. Like, I share all these things, and then there's silence like that, because I'm like, you know, must I now lead her to the Lord? And then I realize, but what happens if this plane does crash? I'm thinking like, and then I'm going to heaven, and she's not. I'm like, oh, I'm going to be in trouble when I get to the pearly gates, you know. And I said to her, but do you want to give your life to the Lord now? And she says, yes, I'll pray with you. And I prayed the sinner's prayer, and I led her to Jesus on that plane. But there was a joy. You know, there is sometimes an intimidation. There's sometimes a fear that comes upon you. And it happens to me every single time. It's not like I'm like so comfortable with sharing with people that there's no fear. There's always a nervousness. There's always a little bit of an intimidation. There's always a voice saying, no, just leave this one. You know, they're going to reject you. But it's sometimes just like, I went for a run yesterday morning. Now the convergence was busy. We get to bed late and it's early. I'm thinking, can't I just skip this run? But I love running, and I'm like, I'm in the Western Cape. Let me just get up. And it's not difficult for me to run. It's like, I love to do it, but it's still a challenge just to put on those shoes and to get up out of bed. But once I was outside, once I experienced the joy of the fresh air and all of the just being in a different space, running, and I like, why did I even struggle to get up? And it's the same with sharing the gospel. It's the same with realizing it's a sacrifice at times. It takes a bit of a stepping out of your comfort zone. But once you do it, you're like, what a joy to see someone hear the gospel. And whether they respond or not, that's not, the joy is not only in that. The joy is in just sharing, stepping out, just seeing someone, pursuing someone, but then sharing the power. Because unless we share, there's no power for a person to be convicted, to repent, to get saved. Because why is it so difficult for us when Jesus Christ went the extra mile? Jesus Christ died a terrible death for people to be saved and for us to share the good news of Jesus. There is joy that God experienced in giving his life. Jesus had joy in giving his life for that one. And then last one, the greatest joy is found in heaven when a soul actually responds. It says here that when he found it, he rejoiced and he put this sheep on his shoulder and he called his family together and he says, let's have a massive party. The woman did the same thing. She rejoiced in the fact that this sheep, or this coin, sorry, was lost and now it is found. The greatest joy is found in heaven when one sinner comes to salvation. There is great joy because of the change that happened in this one life, because one life matters. And there is such great joy when things change. And I believe there is great joy when a sinner comes to salvation because of the impact that that one life can make. If you read throughout the Bible, God chooses the one. He chooses Moses. He chooses Abraham. He chooses the one. And what does that one life do? Makes an impact. He chose Richard to make an impact. He chose Jolene to make an impact. He chose all of you to make an impact, because one life matters. That is why he's rejoicing also. Not only because the sinner got saved, but I believe because of the impact that that one life can make. And who knows, maybe the next Billy Graham is somewhere here in Franschhoek. Maybe the next Reinhard Bonnke, maybe the next, and I'm talking now about evangelists, but maybe the next leader of some organization is found right here, in the youth, wherever, or it could be an old person that has got 10 years left to live and they can make a great impact in 10 or 5 or 2 years. And sometimes I'm talking to myself here, in evangelism, we just think of the person getting saved, rescued out of darkness into light, or rescued from hell into heaven, but it's not only about that. It's about the impact that this one life can make. That is why there was so much joy. And I heard a story this week of a guy called Buta Swart. He's in Bloemfontein. He's a guy that grew up very tough. He got molested. He really had a terrible upbringing. And he found himself in drugs and alcohol on the streets. His life was messed up. And he got married and he had 2 daughters and they got saved and they were praying for him. And he was really at a terrible place in his life, and eventually came to Jesus. He got saved. And when he got saved, he felt he was called into ministry. He thought he was going to be in the full-time ministry. And so he went to America and he studied there. And then the Lord said, and when he came back to South Africa, the Lord said to him, no, you're not going back to America. I haven't called you into full-time ministry. I've called you to make a difference. I've called you to start an NGO. And so he started an NGO called Anchor of Hope. And they are growing so amazingly. They are feeding street kids. They are clothing people. They've got, about 1,400 pieces of clothing available where people can, they just bless people. They say, come and find a piece of clothing that will fit you and take it. They are blessing people. They are feeding people. They are starting a safe house for women that have been that have gone through abortions and all those things. They are literally changing the world. He's connecting now with companies. He's got a contract with the University of the Free State to to just grow this NGO. He's connecting with something like 60 businesses. People are funding him. He's changing the city of Bloemfontein. He's changing people's lives. One guy that was messed up, that was off the street, that probably would have, most of us would have written him off, I'm sure. But Jesus never writes a sinner off. So imagine what difference one life can make. And there's many stories of the one life that can make a difference. So the Father's joy in conclusion is simply this: seeing the one, pursuing the one, giving his life for the one, and then ultimately saving the one. Each one of you here this morning can reach one person. Imagine if that was your life's calling, just to reach one person for Jesus. But I believe that it won't stop with that one person, because when you start to reach one person, you're going to reach another one person, and another one person, and another one person, and another one person. Say another one, and another one. But you see, it starts with the one. I love that song that we sang at Convergence, Hell Lost Another One. Do you guys know that? I'm sure with Richard in your band, you know it. Yo, man, when you sing that song, Hell Lost Another One, I Am Free. Sometimes we sing that just for ourselves because, yo, we are the lost that became saved. But what about another one and another one and another one? And I tell you, hell is losing another one every day when God's people start to stand up. And you know, God can save people, guys. God can save people on his own. He'll probably do a better job than us if he just has to use himself. Like the Holy Spirit is the best evangelist. But you know what God does? God does not save people on his own. He uses each one of us. Why? Because he knows there's joy in just seeing someone saved. There's a lot of joy in life. But one of the greatest joys I've experienced is seeing a sinner come to salvation. There's nothing better. So hell must lose another one. Amen. Maybe this week hell is going to lose another one because you realize, man, I want to reach out to that one. I want to start to see that one. I'm going to start to pursue that one. And I know Jesus has died for that one. So I can just, my sacrifice is easy compared to the sacrifice Jesus made. So I'm going to step out of my comfort zone. I'm going to put my running shoes on tomorrow morning and say, you know what? It's not going to be necessarily comfortable, but I'm going to do this. Amen. And then I'm going to see the joy in the Father's eyes, the joy in his heart, and the joy in my heart in seeing someone respond to the gospel. But not only respond, to be discipled. And that's, I think we're so good at that as a church. We do disciple people well. And imagine how many can be discipled if we start to reach that one, and that one, and that one, and the next one, one by one. Each one of you reach one. Man, this church will not, you'll have to do another building project, Richard. And it's going to come. Amen. Open-air services here in Franschhoek. I'll end with a story. I think all of us know the story about the boy walking on the beach when the starfish were all washed out onto the beach. This old man was walking and he saw this boy, and all these starfish were washed out in the current, in the tide. They couldn't get back in, and there was masses of them, thousands of them. And this old man sees this boy in the distance, and yeah, he sees he's picking up one, and then he's walking again, picking up another. And then the old man says, little boy, you are wasting your time. You're not going to make much of a difference at all. And the boy bends down and he picks one starfish up and he throws it into the sea, and he says, well, I made a difference in that one. So, because there's joy in the one. And there's joy in the one, but there's also joy in the one. And another one, and another one. Turn to someone next to you and say, it's harvest time. Can we close our eyes this morning as we just pray and respond to what the Holy Spirit is doing? Because he is here this morning. He is. Lord, I want to thank you this morning for your love. I want to thank you for your love for all of us, Lord. Thank you for your love for each one in this church, Lord. I want to thank you right now for each one that is sitting here, Lord. Each one. You know each one's challenges, each one's situation, each one's frustrations and fears. And I want to thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are moving and stirring. Lord, we cannot step out in our own strength, but we know you are encouraging us, Lord. Because there's joy, Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in reaching out. There's joy in seeing other people, in pursuing the lost, in sacrificing, Lord, for others. There's joy in giving. There's joy in sharing. There's joy in seeing salvation come to a lost sheep and a lost coin. But Lord, I want to first of all pray for people here this morning that have maybe lost their joy, maybe lost their intimacy with you, maybe lost closeness with you in this time, Lord, this winter season that seems to be going on and on and on. I want to thank you, Lord, that you are pursuing them this morning. So I want you to be very bold this morning, because maybe you, yeah, this morning, and you are that one that Jesus died for. You were invited here this morning. You found yourself here. You don't know how you got here, but you found yourself here. You just want to respond today. You just want to receive the love of Jesus. Maybe you're far from him, or maybe you've not made a commitment to follow Jesus. The same commitment I made many years ago, where I knew that I knew that I knew that I was saved. I knew that I'm going to heaven. That night on the 19th of March, 1992, I knew that I knew that I knew. No one told me. I had no one around me, but I knew for sure that I'm going to be saved if I die tomorrow or tonight. I knew that I'm going to heaven. I honestly knew. It was the Holy Spirit. And maybe you don't have that assurance this morning. Maybe you're that one year that needs Jesus to come and give you assurance that you are born again, that you want, or that you will be in heaven with Jesus if something has to happen to you today. So I want you to be very bold and just raise your hand while all believers are praying, because maybe there's that one here this morning. I want to say there's going to be joy in heaven if you are that one lost sheep or lost coin that is coming back to the Father this morning. You are that one, and you feel far from God. You feel you don't know God, or you're not sure whether you know God or not. There's so much confusion in your life. You need Jesus this morning. I want you to say, Alistair, that's me. I want to be born again this morning. I want to have assurance. I want to know that I know that I know that today I'm going to be with Jesus in heaven. So is that you this morning? Is there anyone here? Just be bold. Just raise your hand if that's you this morning. You the one that Jesus died for. You the one that he's going to have joy in. He's had joy in pursuing you already. He's had joy in seeing you. He sees you and he loves you and he's got joy in you this morning. Is there anyone like that? Just raise your hand. Be very bold. If that's you this morning, you're not sure. Just one last opportunity, because Jesus is pursuing you. Thank you, Lord. And then I want you to be very bold this morning. I want you, if you feel a tug in your heart by the Holy Spirit, you want to say yes to reaching just one person. You want to say, Lord, I want to enter into the joy of you by reaching out to just one person. I'm going to start by stepping out. I'm going to start by stepping out of my comfort zone, but I'm saying yes, Lord, because I see there's joy in reaching one person. I believe the Holy Spirit is going to empower you here this morning as you say yes. So if that's you, you want to say yes to reaching out just to one person, then I want you to stand right there where you are. Just stand up and say, yes, Jesus, I want to pursue one. I want to see one first of all, Jesus. I want to see the one. Just show me, Lord. Show me the harvest before I even do anything. I'm not here to do stuff, Lord, but I'm here to just see what you are seeing. You don't have to stand at all this morning. You really don't have to feel under any obligation, because Jesus is not measuring us, but he's inviting us and he's saying, come, experience the joy of reaching one, and then another one, and then another one, but just start with one. Just stretch out your hands now and just ask the Holy Spirit to come and empower you. Just pray in the Spirit right now. Pray in the Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that you've stirred in our hearts a passion to reach out to just one, Lord, because there's one who is lost, Lord, and we as the church want to sometimes leave the church comfort, Lord. We want to leave the 99. We want to leave those coins that we already had, and we want to look for those lost ones, Lord. So I pray for this church, Lord. I thank you for a hunger to reach out. I thank you that you've already stirred something, and this morning you're just confirming to people that you've already started a process of joy in seeing the one, pursuing that one, keeping praying. I just want to encourage some people this morning, stop praying. I mean, don't stop praying for that one. You already have that one, and you're speaking to them every day, and there's going to be a time when salvation will come in the name of Jesus. So don't stop pursuing, because the Father never stops pursuing. So Lord Jesus, help us not to give up, Lord. Help us to go the extra mile. Help us, Lord, to leave everything until we have found that one. Give us determination, Lord. Give us courage. Give us hope that there is salvation, Lord, for even the most hardened person, Lord. Even the most difficult person in this town can be saved, because Jesus is great. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, come. Come and flood our hearts. Lord, I pray for everyone that's caught up in fear of man, Lord. I pray that what you did to me, a shy person that couldn't even look people in the eye, you gave me the boldness to share by your Holy Spirit. It's not me, Lord. So I want to pray for boldness right now. Just receive boldness. Just stretch out your hands, and I want to say, Holy Spirit, come. Come and give boldness to your people this morning. Every fear has to go in the name of Jesus. All shyness, all intimidation of people, all feelings of not being good enough. I want to say, some of you are going to stand before kings in the name of Jesus, rulers, influential people in this town, and God is going to use the foolishness to reach these people. He's not going to use other influential people. He's going to use you. Because that is how God works. So thank you, Lord, that you give us a heart for the lost, a heart for that one person, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that there's joy when one sinner repents, Lord. There's joy when one sinner repents. So I praise you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus, right now for stirring our hearts for more. And I want to declare that this church is ready, Lord. This church truly is ready. Just ask the Holy Spirit. Just say, Holy Spirit, show me right now. Show me right now who that one is. And then I want you actually to turn into groups of two now, the person next to you, And just quickly pray for just 2 minutes. Pray for that one that's on your heart right now. One person that is lost. That you realize, man, maybe I'm that person. Maybe I'm not, but I see this one. I'm experiencing a heart for this one person. So just one. Mention one. It could be a family member, anyone in this city or town or in this region. But just share quickly with in groups of two. Who is that one that you're trusting for? And then let's pray quickly in groups of two for that one person. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Let's challenge each other, church. Let's challenge each other to pray for that one. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Mention the person's name and just say, it's this one. It's this one. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, come. We worship you, Lord. Rise, Lord, you hear every prayer. Thank you, Lord, that you are faithful to answer the cries of our hearts for the lost. Thank you, Lord, that our hearts break for those that have gone missing, Lord. Some have walked away from you in this town. Some even used to serve you and just have walked away. And we thank you, Lord, that you're even pursuing them, Lord. And I just pray a blessing over this church, Lord. I want to thank you that this church has already been commissioned to reach the lost in this town and beyond, Lord. I want to thank you for the healing center, Lord. I want to thank you, Lord, that this place is a place where people can come home, Lord. I want to say the prodigals are coming home. I sense the Lord is saying the prodigals are coming home. The older brothers are coming home. Because go read the rest of Luke chapter 15. It's about the two sons. And I want to say the sons are coming home. The lost son is coming home. The one. And then another one. And then another one. And then another one. And you guys are going to have joy. I feel the Holy Spirit right now saying you are going to have so much joy in seeing lost people saved. You don't have to worry about the masses. Just do one at a time, one at a time, one at a time, eh? They will come. And I believe, really, you guys, I tell you, the lost will even just come in here and they might not get saved the first time, but they will feel like this is home. And I feel the Lord saying that it's going to be bad. It's like an onion. So just invite them. See them, pursue them, invite them. God will save them. We don't have to save people, guys. Isn't that good news? Because we'll do a terrible job of saving people. But we can love them. And I tell you, this place is so full of love. I want to encourage you guys, pursue one another like you're already doing, but even more, grow this community so tight that whoever comes in here saying, I want to be with these people. And maybe there'll be people unsaved for a few weeks or whatever, but they'll get saved because of the love that you guys have for one another. And they can see that you are Jesus' disciples. So I want to bless you this morning. I want to bless you with all the fullness of God. I want to bless you with the peace of God. I want to bless you with provision. Those who are struggling with provision, God is providing for you. Just be faithful. And pursue the kingdom. The Bible says, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God. It's a word for someone here this morning. Don't try to seek riches and try to survive. I break poverty over people here in the name of Jesus. I break the poverty mentality and I say, seek first the kingdom of God. And all things will be added in Jesus' name. Amen. Because he's a good God. He loves you so much. I'm excited to come back. Amen. So God bless you. Richard and Jolene, thank you so much for having me. What a joy. Just let's declare the joy. Say there's joy in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus.